the water. You gotta remember, they had no sonar. They didn't know how deep things were. They didn't have maps of bodies of water. And what's more, they didn't have a third grade class that taught them about how the earth was actually in existence. And so the worldview of someone in Jesus' day was that the water of a lake was not a self-contained body of water, but it was connected to these deep waters that actually went over and, I mean, under the entire earth. Well, and over, but that's a different thing. Water was kind of everywhere, including under the earth. And out of that water, in some worldviews 2,000 years ago, was where evil came from. The chaos of the dark, deep water. Out of that came evil. Out of that came the unknown. Out of that came sea monsters and all sorts of things. Literally, this is the worldview of that day. So, to work on the water, to sail across the water, to walk on the water, was an incredibly bold and risky move. It was an adventure, in other words. And I actually looked up the word adventure this week, because when I think of that word, I tend to think about grand, epic quests, right? That's what an adventure is, this giant, huge, once-in-a-lifetime adventure. The dictionary actually defines adventure this way. It is a bold, risky undertaking. And that kind of dials it down for me a little bit. It's helpful, actually, because that means an adventure is anything in your life and in mine that is bold, that has some risk involved in it. In other words, raising children is an adventure, right? It is a bold, risky undertaking. Going off to college, it's an adventure. Unknowns exist everywhere when we take those steps. Extending forgiveness to someone who has wronged you is an adventure when you think of it in this way. It is a bold, risky undertaking to offer reconciliation, is it not? Huge adventure in that sense. Following Jesus at work, being a person of integrity at work, is an adventure when you think of it in those terms. And I want you to hold on to that idea of adventure, because this is the word that we're going to kind of center ourselves around in some ways this morning. And I want you to not think of it again as this epic, once-in-a-lifetime, Jesus calling me to Africa sort of thing. Adventure is often found in the everyday. Okay, that's adventure. Now back to the water. Because remember, working on it, sailing on it, it's a bold, risky move. And so it's interesting that one of the places where Jesus molds and shapes a guy by the name of Peter most often is on the water. Think about the stories of water and Jesus and his disciples, and especially of Peter, right? The disciples are sailing across the lake. A giant storm rises up and is going to sink their piddly little boat. And what's Jesus doing? Remember the story? Just chilling in the underneath part of the boat. They frantically wake him up, and he rises and with a word calms the storm. That is a formative moment. That was an adventurous moment for the disciples. Or think about, as we'll cover next week, Peter walking on water. Right? Something very formative happens for Peter out there on the deep. Or, as we'll see today, Jesus' first encounter with Simon Peter is on the shore, and then it moves into the water. So let's go to Luke 5. This place, this water, where so much formation happens for Peter. And Peter's going to be the guy that we look at throughout this series of Brave. Peter's going to be kind of the character study for us. And here in Luke 5, Jesus encounters Peter for the first time. So one day, we're starting in verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He, Jesus, got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, the guy that we later come to know as Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Why? Because the crowds are so intensely pushing in on Jesus, he needs some space. So then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So, Jesus invites Peter to set a brave new course. Because where is Peter headed when Jesus encounters him at the end of his teaching? He's headed home. Peter's headed home. They've brought their boats up on shore. They've washed their nets for the day. They are done. And Peter just wants to go home and go to bed. You ever been done with work and the only thing you can think of is getting home, getting some dinner, vegging out on the couch? I mean, that is, I think, what's on Peter's mind. And Jesus says to him, I've got a different idea. I want you to set a new course, and it's into the deep water. And of course, they get out there and there's this insane catch of fish. But as amazing as this whole miracle is, it's not the end of the story. In fact, it's not, I don't even think, the point. Everything that happens out on the water is not the point. The point is what comes in verse 10. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Right? This is where this whole passage is driving towards. It's to verse 10. The point is that Peter will love and renew and restore and save people. Because people are always the point with God. People are always the point. Now, that's not to say, though, that what happens out on the water in the first 9 verses is not incredibly instructive for us. Because it is. It is. What happens to Peter out there tells us something about our lives as well. And what we're going to do here with the remainder of our time is look at those 9 verses and what happens to Peter and what he learns about the kind of adventure that Jesus calls him into. Because here's the thing. Jesus calls every single one of you into an adventure. And maybe it's epic, grand, it's move to Africa sort of stuff, but it's probably just adventure, risky, bold undertakings that take place every day. But the truth is that Jesus calls you into an adventure. He sets a new heading for our lives, and he does it often. He moves us in new directions, yes? He says, go there. Head into that place. Seek out that person. Move into those deep waters. And so what I want to ask you here as we start is this question. What is the heading that Jesus is giving to you today? Where is Jesus setting the direction of your life? What does that adventure look like? One thing that I know and that we learned from Peter in this story here in Luke 5 is that the heading that Jesus may be giving to you today, or gave to you yesterday, or will give to you tomorrow, the heading that Jesus has for you is going to sound crazy. It's going to sound crazy. At least chances are pretty good that it's going to. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Could Jesus have said anything more confusing, more shocking to Peter? I mean, let's be honest, guys, right? This is Peter's gig. This is what he does for a living. It's what his dad did. It's what his dad before him probably did. They've been fishermen for generations. Peter's like, come on. You seem to be a respectable rabbi. You have some authority. I mean, I'm cool with that. I'm listening to you. I'm digging, you know, what you're handing out. But I'm the fisherman. We've just been out all night. And we didn't catch a single fish. Not a single fish. And Jesus says, I know, head out into deep water and put down your nets. I think this is so important to say for us as we try and listen for the directions that God might send us in. It's important to say that at first, those places and those people and those things that God might ask us to do are going to sound crazy. You're sending me where? You want me to go to whom? And you're asking me to do what? You know? It's crazy. I mean, let me give a real kind of broad example that will probably cover all of us here. Think about the adventure that Jesus calls us to, the bold, risky undertaking of loving your enemy. Let's just think broadly in that way for a moment. Is there anything more adventurous than that? Loving your enemy. And does it not sound crazy? Come on, I know you've probably been in church and you know we're supposed to love our enemy, but just step back for a second and think about it. Is there anything more crazy than loving the person who is out to get you? And yet this is the heading, the course that Jesus invites us to head out on. There's this person at work for me, my other job, let me just clarify, my other job, who does not come at me with swords and clubs, because we don't have those kinds of enemies, right? But this person makes my life really difficult. And what I find is that I often want to badmouth them at every turn. Cleverly, with a little joke here and there, tongue in cheek. But I am never out to love them. And so here's Jesus in my life giving me a new heading, setting a new course for me. And it is risky and bold. And really hard. So what if Jesus got into your boat today and said, I want you to set a new course. It's out into the deep water. I want you to invite that difficult coworker to lunch tomorrow. And you're like, what? Then? No. How about Jill? I like Jill. Jill is nice. I would love to grab lunch with Jill, but not Jane. Oh my gosh, no. You know, it's like, no way, right? No way. Shocking, it's surprising, Jesus. That person, that direction, that thing, no way. No way. And what I've found in my life and what I've seen happen in the lives of others is that when Jesus sets a direction for us that is surprising, that doesn't fit with our plans or our expectations, my temptation, and what I actually sometimes do, is I take that direction that he sets and I dismiss it. No, it's too crazy. It's too surprising. It's not what I planned. It doesn't line up with my expectations, right? You ever done this? You ever dismissed the direction that Jesus is setting you on because it's too much? It's too crazy? It may be why this series is called Brave. It takes courage to not just immediately dismiss the heading that Jesus sets us out on. It takes courage. It takes bravery. And so as we start this series, I'm going to ask you kind of this question again. What heading is Jesus giving to you? What part of your life does Jesus want to turn? To what person is he sending you? Does it sound crazy? It might. But if it does, even if it does, don't dismiss it right away. At least consider it. At least pray about it. At least talk about it with people you trust. Because it might be the direction that God wants you to go. So the new heading may sound crazy. The other thing about it that we learned from Peter is that it may require more than we have to give. I'm full of good news this morning, you know. When they had done so, when they had gone out into the deep and put down their nets, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I love that as Jesus gives this new heading to Peter, he says, go out into the deep. From the very beginning, as soon as Jesus sets that heading for him, that heading involves the people who are closest to Peter. Did you notice that? Look at the pronouns here in verses 6 and 7. It's not that Peter, he went out and obeyed Jesus. It's that they went out and they put down their nets. There are other people in the boat, I'm pretty sure. Friends, fishermen, co-workers, family, probably a little bit of everything. And there they are out on the water together. See, the heading that Jesus gives to us always involves community. Period. Always. Maybe most of the heavy lifting is ours or a lot of the work is ours to carry, but it always in some way involves community. And so they're out there in the boat. They have their nets full. There are people in the boat. And then they also call back to shore. Help! Right? We're going to go down. So everyone else scrambles and they, you know, quickly row as fast as they can out there. And they get all the nets and they try and pull them in. And both of their boats almost sink. Here's the point, I think. At least one of the things I take away from this is that the adventure that Jesus is calling you on, whatever that might be, Africa or loving your enemy, it will require more than you have to give on your own. It will require more than you have to give on your own. The good news is that we are not alone. See, Peter, he can't handle the fish. Dude can't handle it on his own. Could he have ever pulled them all into? No, not a chance. The guy can't even handle the fish, let alone the real mission that Jesus is driving him towards, which is people. Think about what is going to happen to Peter in the years to come. Is he equipped? Is he ready to take that on all by himself? The guy's had no education. He's gone to no seminars on public speaking. Peter has not listened to an audiobook on leadership. Guys, he's had nothing like that, you know? He's just a fisherman. And Jesus says, now you're going to catch people. That is way beyond his capabilities in this moment. So no wonder that Jesus says to Peter in verse 10, don't be afraid. Because Peter's afraid. If he isn't yet, he's going to be, like once it sinks in, right? Because this call, this adventure is way beyond his ability to handle on his own. And I wonder, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like the heading that Jesus is setting you on is beyond your capability? And again, we can go back to those same examples, like loving your enemy. Have you ever said, not only is that surprising, Jesus, thanks, but I also can't do it. You know, have you seen what this person does? They chew up people and spit them out. You know, I mean, this person is ferocious. I'm not going to go out to lunch with them. Are you crazy? Right? You know, when I look at my life right now, the most significant adventure, the undertaking that is most risky and bold in my life right now is raising my children to love God and love other people and follow Jesus. There is nothing more adventurous than that. And what I've found, interestingly, is that it's not only the most kind of adventurous thing, it's also the thing that I am least prepared to take care of. I do not have the skills to do what I need to do as a parent. I am often just railroaded by things, you know, not ready, incapable. My shortcomings come out all the time. Like, it is risky and it is hard and it is bold. It requires a lot of bravery. And so, do you know what I often do when I am trying to live out this adventure and raise my kids to love God and love other people and follow Jesus? Do you know what I often do? Nothing. It's so overwhelming that I don't do anything. You ever had this happen? Jesus calls you in a new heading, and it feels so much, like so much, that you don't do anything. Parents, have you ever, like, had a moment of reflection and looked back on a couple of weeks or a couple of months and realized that besides taking your kids to church a couple of times, you've done nothing intentionally to raise them up to know Jesus more? Have you ever had this happen? I have. I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, a half a year went by. What just happened? Right? And for me, it's multiple things. I'm selfish. Confession time is, if you didn't know that, you know, like, I think of me more than I think of my kids. I'm busy, and I'm not sure that there is a greater enemy to spiritual development than busyness. And so it crowds out being intentional with my kids. And I'm scared. I feel incapable of doing anything about it. And this is why, by the way, my wife and I have opened up our home on Thursday evenings. It's one of the main reasons that we have a missional community in our home whose purpose is to help people grow in faith and specifically raise up the next generation to know God and follow God and love Jesus. Not everyone in our missional community has kids, but together we realize that there's value in helping each other in that journey. And boy, oh boy, do we need help. And so we've opened up our home because we didn't know what else to do in some sense. Like, we desperately needed community. We desperately needed other people to come and encourage us and give us ideas and tell us that they were really stinking at it too, you know, and like we needed each other. Have you ever been overwhelmed by the direction that Jesus is sending you? Have the deep waters freaked you out and cause you to do nothing? If so, I think we would be wise to remember who is in the boat with Peter. He's got some other people there. He's got a community with him on this bold, risky undertaking. And Jesus is with him. I find it such an encouragement to know that Jesus does not stand on the shore in this story and bark out commandments and directions and then just kind of push Peter out and say, go get him, you know. Jesus is in the boat. And I think when Jesus sends us out to people and places and to do things that he calls us to do, he is with us. He's in the boat with us. So we're never alone. And that's why Jesus can say to Peter, don't be afraid. Not because, Peter, you're so smart or you have all the skills, but because I am with you. You are not alone. See, don't dismiss the heading that Jesus is giving to you because it's shocking. It doesn't fit with your plans. It's surprising in that way. Don't dismiss it because it feels like it's too much. It's beyond what you can give. Guess what? It is beyond what you can give. That's okay. That's okay. And the other thing that we learn from Peter is that this new heading that Jesus gives us, it will blow us away. And I mean that in a good way. When they had gone out into the deep water and put down their nets, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. When we follow Jesus into the deep, something astonishing happens. And it is not, let me be very clear, it is not that our life gets easy and comfortable. That is not what happens when we head out into the deep waters. It is not that our every wish is granted, or that we suddenly are immune from pain and difficulty. But what does happen when we go out into the deep, when we follow Jesus on that new heading that he gives to us, is that we witness our lives and the lives of those around us changed in the most profound ways. We see the kingdom of God come more fully. The things that we long for in our souls actually begin to take hold more firmly. That catch of fish that day was pretty astonishing. But it is nothing compared to what happens to Peter in the years ahead. Right? The catch of fish, it's amazing. It's worth writing down. But what's even more astonishing is the way in which Peter becomes a part of God's work in the world and changes the lives of people over and over again. That's the astonishing part. And it's not to say that Peter's journey, his adventure, is smooth. But Jesus is faithful as they head out into the deep waters to increase Peter's capacity, give him the skills he needs, help him become the person that he was meant to be. When I think about this community and when I think about the lives of the people that I am involved with and that I know and love, I have seen people love their enemies, and I have seen that change the course of people's lives. I've watched this happen, and it has not been easy or comfy, but it has been astonishing to watch when people head in that direction that Jesus has set them out on. I've witnessed more times than I would like. I've witnessed friends weather fierce storms. Their boats were half underwater. But I've watched them stay true to the adventure, to continue to trust Jesus and come out on the other side stronger. I've watched people like Matt Zomerle today lead worship. If you know Matt Zomerle at all, you know this guy standing up here on the stage today is in deep water. And I mean that in the sense of what we're talking about today, right? Like, not like he's in trouble, deep water, but you know, he's out in the deep. takes a lot of bravery to do what he's doing today. But it's beautiful. And it changes all of us in small and maybe even big ways. We've seen people leave the branch because God calls them to other places across the country. Fort Wayne, Indiana. You know, but we've seen it like a lot over the years. God calling people elsewhere, out into deep water, setting a new course. And we've watched that change the world. The places that they go are transformed because they're obedient to that new direction. And we've had people come here because God has sent them to Grand Rapids, and they end up in this place, and it changes us. Yes and yes, the headings, the courses that Jesus sets us out on are crazy sometimes. They feel crazy. And yes, they require more of us than we often have to give. But when we are obedient to them, Jesus is faithful, and the astonishing happens. And it's for that reason that we don't need to be afraid. It's for that reason that we head out confidently into the deep water. It's for that reason that we're able to repeat Peter's words from verse 5. Because you say so. Master, we've been out there all night. We've not caught a single fish. But because you say so, we'll head out again. What is the heading that Jesus is pointing you towards today? And again, if it's moving to Africa, then think that big. Go for it. But for most of us, it's probably just going to be in the everyday. Like, where in your life tomorrow is God sending you to someone or to a place? Or maybe the deep water is in your character. There's a part of your character that needs to be transformed. And Jesus is saying, that's the place where you need to head. You need to face that part of you. You need to let me grow it and change it. Is it your calendar? Is it your budget? Is it your priorities? Where is that heading? Where is Jesus sending you? And to whom? May we be people, when we hear that heading, as crazy as it might sound, and as overwhelming as it might feel, may we be people who say, because you say so, I will go. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we pray that you would help us to be brave. Help us to have courage. Help us to have faith, to believe that you're with us in the boat. And that if you are with us, we can go confidently, no matter the heading, no matter the course. So help us to be people who are brave and who head out into new adventures with you. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Because you say so, Jesus. One of the things...